Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Well, hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio and another extraordinary half hour of scintillating conversation. And we have a very special lady with us today. She is a licensed professional counselor, and she deals with lots of different people who have different issues that they need help for. You know, for many people, the task of balancing their life kind of seems like an impossible dream, but between professional and personal development, it really is easy to lose sight of the direction that you want your life to go in. And obviously, seeking the advice of another one sometimes seems ludicrous to some people. However, a professional outside perspective can obviously many times be exactly what you need. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. For the past several years, 3 years in fact, licensed professional counselor and coach Sarah Brindle has successfully assisted people in their quest for balance and for development. She is an extraordinary lady, and she has a terrific background. She has a bachelor's degree from Concordia College, a master's in counseling from Bethel University, and prior to establishing her own company, Sarah Brindle Counseling, she spent 2 years as a mental health practitioner providing in-home counseling to adults. And I know that that was a huge learning experience for her. Let's welcome Sarah to the line right now. She's at her home, and she's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Sarah, welcome to the line. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Do me a favor. I can hear the radio in the background, so if you'll turn that volume down, we won't hear feedback, okay? Because I can hear myself talking.
Oh, let's see. Can you hear me now? Is that okay?
No, that's much better. Yeah. All right. Thank you so
much.
Oh,
okay, good.
Listen, I'm interested to know about your experience helping people, you know, in in-home counseling to adults. That had to be a pretty interesting experience, wasn't it? And you learned a lot, I would think, from that.
I did learn a lot, yeah. Something I say is, you know, growth is not always easy, but is so valuable. And I really credit that as one of the probably the most difficult jobs I've had and one of the most rewarding and really foundational to, my career as a counselor. That was a very interesting position. I was out in people's homes and in their neighborhoods, and I had the opportunity to see a real wide range of diagnoses and mental health concerns, from just adjustment things all the way to more debilitating, mental health diagnoses like schizophrenia and things, and work with a variety of types of people, men, women, I had said, ages 18 through, I think I had almost an 80-year-old lady, and
wow.
I would say probably most of the people I saw were between ages 18 and probably like 50 or so, but a lot of different types of people. I learned a lot about, a lot of experience crammed into a short amount of time. Demographics, ages, settings, flexibility, and I credit. Yeah, another main thing I took from that job, and I feel like set me up so well for doing therapy as, is understanding the whole spectrum of the helping profession and mental health counseling, because I started to see that I am one person in a whole network of professionals helping people. So it was my job to make sure that they were getting the services they need. So I was an in-home counselor, and then often people would have a therapist in the office, like I'm doing now, and then they would have a psychiatrist and a medical doctor and often a nutritionist if they were lucky enough or needed one, and a doctor. And so and community resources. And so I feel like I got a really big picture, and I got to work in that setting of connecting people with all these different other professionals and community resources. And so now my role is slightly shifted with the people that I work with. I'm working with them in a slightly different role, but I can see the need and I can see how my role fits in with all these different areas, and I'm able to understand referrals and things to get them to the right places and hook people up with resources and things.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you got you into this field to begin with. Do you recall why and when you were drawn toward this field of counseling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a big question because I think it's important to think about that, you know, counseling is very much about the client. It's not at all about, you know, what the counselor thinks or feels about ideas that we're talking about. But I think it's very interesting to learn about the counselor as a person. You know, anytime any of us, you know, we're going to be taking services and help and things from counselors, I think it helps to know about the person because we all are shaped by our experiences and things.
What I'm getting at is, do you recall what made you want to go into this field? You know, you talk to young people who are going to college or going in, a lot of them don't have a clue of what they want to do. Some say they're going to study business, or others are, you know, they want to be an architect. I'm wondering, here you are a counselor. What gets somebody in that frame of mind that they want to be a counselor? Did you know early on that was something you wanted to do?
I am the oldest of four. I have three siblings, and I've always been very much of a helper, and I've felt that I'm good at that, and I always like helping people. But academically, it wasn't always a track that I took. I got to study music and in interior and apparel design in college, and I worked at a large retail store, and I got to work with people. I had people coming in and out, and I was forming relationships with clients and things. But I was starting, I'm going to talk about role again, because I was starting to, I was loving talking to people and hearing their stories, but also wanting something more from that. I was wanting to be able to go further in the conversations and be able to, you know, see what can we do about these pain and these, you know, difficult stressors that people are having. And that wasn't appropriate for the role as working in a retail store, right? But I started to think about, well, what are some of my skills here, you know, these are some of the skills that I'm using at this job, is the people and the interacting and the listening and things. And if I'm wanting to expand on that, what are some ways that I can do that? And counseling and psychology is something I definitely always have thought about. And then I started to understand that and just get a real strong calling that I wanted to go into counseling, and I felt like that would be a good fit for me. So counseling allows me to sit with people and listen to their stories, but the relationship itself sets it up for taking it deeper than a surface level conversation.
Sure, that's for sure. I'm just wondering, did you go to counselors when you were young yourself, so that you knew something about the field, or not?
I had been exposed to, I think I saw a counselor during college briefly, but exposure to psychology and counseling and things, I mean, that had been kind of on my radar and things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's enough on that. I just wondered what, you know, why you got into counseling, because I find it interesting why some people get into certain professions. When I went to college, I wouldn't have known what a counselor did. I'd never been to one, and I can't imagine myself, you know, having thought to myself, well, I think I'm going to be a counselor.
Yeah, exactly. I always knew I was made to be in the helping professions direction. I always knew that was where my skills were, and then that was what gave me the most satisfaction. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, as we pointed out, you're highly educated in this. You have a master's degree in counseling from Bethel University. And, you know, you've been in the field for a number of years now. Let's talk a little bit about setting up your own counseling firm. When did you start Sarah Brendel Counseling?
Yeah, well, I moved into the cerebral counseling and set that up, and which is a private practice setting, which means I have an office, and that came about in May of this year after working for 2 years doing my in-home work, and then before that, in grad school, I had a year-long practicum at internship at a college counseling center, which was also kind of, it was the same type of feel, a private practice feel. So I went from that into in-home, got tons of experience, and then I had, I felt like it was time to again, I'm going to mention role again, because in that job, that seems to be a switch for me when I'm, you know, moving out of the retail job, saying this is what's my role here, and then in the in-home job, I was thinking about all these different providers, and I'm thinking, I'm feeling tired in this role, although I can do this. I feel really motivated about doing the therapy side of things, and so I think I'd like to play the therapy person. You know, that person in one of the people that all these clients, you know, that these clients see. So I had the opportunity in May to start renting an office and get my space set up and the business established, and I've been seeing clients since then.
Well, good for you. All right, let's talk a little bit about who you work with. I know you do professional account. By the way, I want to point out you have a really good website. Anybody who's listening should make a note of the website, because if you don't look at it right now, look at it after the show. I want to give the name out, okay, Sarah? It's www.sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Brindle, B-R-I-N-D-L-E, counseling, counseling.com, sarahbrindlecounseling.com. And Sarah is in Minneapolis. Are you a Minneapolis native? Is that why you settled out in that area?
Oh, you know, I am not, actually. I lived in Minneapolis for about the last 6 years since my undergrad, and I grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota, mostly. And then I ended high school. We moved to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and then for the last 10 years, my parents have been living in Watertown, South Dakota, so that's what I call home now. And then, so say, the last 6 years I've been in the Twin Cities, and, you know, the Dakotas are very special to me and will always have a warm place in my heart, and the prairie and the openness, and I love that, and I think that's really important. And I moved to the cities to try out a bigger city, and that's been great too, and got to go to grad school here, and
Good,
but yeah, it's great.
Good for you. I've never been to Minneapolis. I understand it is absolutely gorgeous, though. So anyway,
it's a really great city.
Question.
Winters are a little tough, but we get used to it.
Well, hey, what about South Dakota? They're pretty tough there too, aren't they?
Yeah, not much different, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I want to talk about some of the kind of issues that you help people with, and the kind of people you deal with primarily. I notice here one of the things you do, one of your areas of specialty, is involving food and disorderly eating issues, especially with young adults. And I want to bring this up because you were on the Today Show earlier this year, just a couple of months ago, this summer, in fact. You were interviewed because of one of the things you, well, it dealt with, obviously, a food issue. Why don't you tell us about it? I could express it, but you tell me. Why were you a guest on the Today Show?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a huge part of me and probably goes along with a big reason of getting into counseling and things, too. But over the last couple of years, I have lost about 150 pounds. And so that was... that was celebrated, I could say, on the Today Show. I was a friend of mine about a year ago said, Sarah, you should enter this Joy Fit Club. You just write a 100-word essay and send 3 photos. And, you know, I think a couple months before July when I went, I thought, I'm at my goal weight. I'm going to give it a shot. Who knows? And anyway, I sent the little essay and got the phone call and got to come there. And that was a really cool celebration of, you know, the hard work and things. And I feel like what I want to bring out of that is some of the things that I've worked through and I've learned along the process of losing quite a bit of weight and really shifting my lifestyle, but really shifting some internal ideas about myself and what I think about myself and my value in things. And that's what really allowed for my behaviors to change.
I was going to say, that is a huge, huge achievement. I mean, anybody listening can certainly appreciate that. Losing 150 pounds, wow, that's not easy.
Yeah.
How long did it take, by the way, for you to do that?
Thank you. Yeah, it took me about 2 years. And I was really in a place, I mean, it's something that I struggled with my whole life. I mean, food and weight, I mean, I was a kid that was just heavier, you know. And then that just kind of stayed. And then, you know, as teens and into your adult, you start to recognize how you use food. And I was definitely using food in an unbalanced way. That's what I would say. You know, it was a friend. It was a comfort. It was things like that. And then it just, you kind of get to a place where you feel so helpless. You know, you have so much weight to lose. And, you know, your size affects how you feel about yourself. And it's just, it's a really difficult place to be. You know, I went to grad school, and this is about helping other people, right? And about kind of getting people's lives in balance. And I just had a real awakening that, you know what, my life is not in balance, and I'm the one that's got to take care of myself. You know, I need to take care of myself too, just like I would take care of anyone else, and probably first, actually.
Sure.
So that I'm in the best place to be able to help other people. So after multiple, you know, attempts through the, over my lifetime, I mean, I was really in a place that I became ready. I was probably the heaviest I had ever been, but then also, you know, I had achieved a lot, and I also had this feeling of, you know, I could keep achieving things. I could get, you know, more degrees. I could, you know, I can do all of these things, but they don't really seem to be making me any better of a person, or, you know, do I need to just be okay with myself when I lose all this weight? You know, yes, I have to lose weight, but I just had a big realization that I'm okay and God loves me how I am. And it's not until we get to this next thing or until I would lose weight that I was okay, that I had value as a person right there how we were. And that is a message that I had heard, you know, for my whole life, but for some reason it really soaked in. And then I felt like that was really a foundation that said, okay, because I have value, then I take care of myself, and then the behavior changes could come. And so that is definitely what I hope to convey to other people, and that's kind of a that is a core thing that I want to work with, and I do work with, and people with, you know, people can have food and disordered eating concerns even if they're not that overweight. You know, you can't always tell what's going on inside a person.
That's so true. I would assume that you would be, I mean, obviously with your experience and what you've managed to achieve, you would be a great person to counsel, you know, teenagers or young people who have a weight problem and, you know, know they need to do something about it. And finally, you know, they get up to the point where they're ready to do something about it, and they come to see somebody like you. How do you work with people? What's it like? How do you, you know, I've often wondered, it's not like going to see a psychiatrist where you sit on a couch and, you know, somebody else is, you know, sitting in a chair talking to you. What's a session with you like? Describe it for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's unlike a psychiatrist, which is more of which have a very important role in often collaborative care, but it's not exactly a checklist of things that we go through, right? We have an intake form to kind of, you know, identify some core issues and things. But counseling is a little bit different with every counselor, but basically it's about taking a breather. It's about the counselor creates a safe place for the person to come in and, I hope, just be able to relax for a minute. I think there's just the daily life, especially living in a city, everything gets so fast and so moving so quickly. And to create a step away from kind of all of that. And to talk, I mean, it's a relationship built on trust, confidentiality, absolutely, but trust and an openness. It's counseling is focused on the client, and so the counselor is a neutral
right.
person. I mean, we don't imply our particular, if we agree or whatever, with what the client's saying, but it's helping the client work through and identify their concerns and how they feel about things.
In other words, it really works out to be a conversation between you and whoever your client is. And you're giving them the benefit of your advice from your background, your experiences, and your education, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it, yeah. And, yep, I'm using my education, yet my background, which is, I've, as a person, right, developed, and so I'm using the experiences that I've gone through. I'm using my education, my study of different theories and how people work, and then my experience professionally in all the people that I've come in contact with, to provide some structure to things that people say, some help in kind of organizing ideas, very much often an alternate perspective, because I don't live in their world on a day-to-day basis. I don't know their friends or family, and so I don't have any bias or, I don't know, so-and-so says something about their mom. Well, I don't know their mom, to have any opinion or, bias against something like that. And so that can just be that can allow for a lot of things to be talked about, yeah, because I'm a neutral person. But, yeah, it is a conversation, and it's so identifying main concerns.
Okay.
All right.
Let me interrupt you a little bit and ask you about the kind of clients that you deal with primarily now.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they? Give me a picture of your clientele.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I work with the youngest I'll go is late teens or late adolescents, so like 17, 18 or so. And I don't work with children, but I work with mostly individuals, some couples, and all the way through adulthood. I've seen people all the way through adulthood. I think that what I would call young adult category, maybe 18 to 30, is very exciting, very interesting, and I do particularly enjoy working with them, and I have several clients right now in that age group.
What are the primary mm-hmm. kinds of issues that you deal with this people in this age group?
Yeah, some main issues. I mean, it really varies. It really varies, but some main issues that we do talk about are an idea called individuation, separating as being a member of your immediate family, moving into being a more independent self, mm-hmm. and especially those college years when you're physically living often at your family's during summer and then at college, during the school year, and those ideas are kind of highlighted like that, but this self-development, figuring out what, unwritten rules and things like that am I taking, or what, things am I taking from my family system that I'm bringing into my own self and my new relationships, my friends, my, other relationships outside. Is that working? Do I want to take those things? And then creating your identity as an individual. And then figuring out your path in the world, too. And I just think that's a really important, critical time, to be very valued. I think that acknowledging that, and it's also kind of a time that you're understanding how to, understand your internal guides, understanding what role emotions play in your life, you know, what have you been told about emotions throughout, and then understanding how they help guide you or how they don't help guide you. And that, if you can do that in a healthy, balanced way, I think through what is often college years, and not college for everyone, and through your 20s and things, that can set you up for a good, really good foundation for being able to do that the rest of your life.
Okay.
I think that
I
had
you,
a...
Go ahead. Don't mean to interrupt you. All right. Keep going.
No, yeah, I was going to say that I think that was a really important time, like I briefly mentioned in the beginning in my life, and understanding I got to try a lot of different things. It was valued, and then you pick where you want to go, and that really has allowed me to take risks in a real safe way and understand my internal guides very, very well, I think, and I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Our time is going by. We're down to about 4 minutes left. I wanted to ask you what it is about worth working with young adults that you appreciate so much.
Mhm. I mean, I think those kind of those things that I had mentioned, and it seems like it's a real honest time. It's usually a hard time to reach out for help. Too, you know, to reach outside of yourself. It's a very confusing time, and I think it's people can be very influential in that time, and I think it's a good time to really care for those people in that age group. I think that's important all of us.
I wanted to mention, you have your picture on your website. You're a beautiful young lady. I say young lady. I really don't, I don't know your age, but you appear to be a young lady. And I would think that young people could relate to you much better,
mm-hmm.
I would think, rather than if, you know, they went in to talk to a counselor who might be in their, you know, 40s or 50s or even older.
Sure.
You seem young, and obviously you connect with young people, right?
Well, yeah, I'm 28. I'm fine saying that, and I am on the younger side, and I am on the younger side of this career and things, and I definitely... don't claim to be anything different than that and things, but I think that there is something in kind of just coming alongside the person, and I do hear that people relate to, part of the relating is that I'm a little bit on the younger side. Mm-hmm.
Right. And, I know you do different kinds of counseling. I get you to describe the difference between professional counseling and wellness coaching. Yeah, we only have a minute or so left. What's the difference there?
Absolutely, yeah. And then we can touch base on this again, too, next time. But, you know, mental health counseling is what I have my license in Minnesota, and that is my main practice. And I have also been adding a wellness coaching side. Since being contacted after the Today Show, actually, that's when I have thought about coaching before, but coaching happens over the phone, and it's more... strength-based, solution-focused, real goal-oriented things, and it's often people that don't necessarily have lots of mental health things in the way.
Mm-hmm.
It might be someone that's doing okay but needs some help organizing their life or just kind of can't figure out a career path or particularly wants to get their wellness, nutrition, weight loss goals achieved. That's how coaching comes in handy, and that can happen via phone throughout the whole country.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So you
mm-hmm.
see clients in person as well as dealing with folks on the telephone. So the fact that you're in Minneapolis, you know, that should not hinder anyone from New York or Kansas or Florida or wherever from contacting you. Obviously,
okay.
If they go on your website, they can get information on how to contact you. Let me give Sarah's
mm-hmm.
website again. It's a great website, very informative. A lot of information. It is www.sarahbrindle, B-R-I-N-D-L-E, coaching, or counseling, rather,
.com. Mm-hmm.
SarahBrindleCounseling.com. It is really a very informative website. Sarah, we've run out of time for this half hour. We're going to be back with you again next week, okay?
Yes,
so
thank you so much.
I look forward to continuing this conversation, and we will do it then. Is that okay with you?
Me too, yes. Thank you. That sounds great.
You're very welcome. Okay, that'll wrap it up for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We thank you for being with us and remind you that we have some of the best guests on radio right here on Close Up Talk Radio. Have a great day wherever you might be. I hope it's sunny and bright. It's sunny where I am here in the mountains of North Carolina, but sunny where you are. Have a great life, everybody. Have a great day. See you next time here on Close Up Talk Radio. Bye for now.